Monday the 4th of August, Gimel Menachem Av, Rabbi Zacharia Jacobson, the Issue of Benefiting from Maase Nissim.
Good morning, thank you all for coming. At this time I'd like to deal with two questions with regard to Maase Nissim. Maase Nissim means something produced by miracles. I would like to understand how Halacha views something produced by miracles, and there's two slants to it. Firstly, can one benefit from it? And secondly, can the Maase Nissim, something produced by miracles, can it be used for a mitzvah? That's the second half of this time. The Gemara in Tanis tells us a story of Elazar Ish Birsa, that he was the type of person that when he would walk in the street and there would be a mashulach, somebody collecting money for a particular tzedakah cause, it would be the mashulach running away from him, not him running away from the mashulach. The Gemara says, Kadavachozole gaboy tzedak have a toshman, he used to run away from him. Why? Because he used to do something which was strange. They called Maidav Agabe have a Yovlu. Everything which he had, he would give away to them. So one day he was in the marketplace buying an adunya for his daughter. So the Gaboid stock is seen, and they run away, and he runs after them. When he catches up with them, he gets them to tell him, what are you doing? He says, Ishbiyatechu, but Maya Siktu, what are you busy with? Amulei, they said to him, V'yotoim v'yosoima. They were arranging a shidduch between a yosem and a yosoima, orphans. Omalen, he said to them, Ha'avoida, Shenkein and Lebiti, you should know something, your cause is greater than mine. And he manages to convince them, and he gives everything he's got except for a coin. So what does he do with the little coin he's got left? He buys a bit of chitim, a bit of wheat, and he comes home and throws it in the store place, in the barn for where he keeps the wheat. So now his wife comes home and she says to the daughter, "What did your father bring you? Let's have a look at all the chasna clothes." And the daughter says, "Go and have a look in the car, go and have a look in the storehouse. You'll see it there in the barn. Go and have a look there." She comes along. She tries to open the door, and she realizes that the whole barn is absolutely full of wheat. She sees the wheat even coming through the hinges. So now the daughter goes running to the Beit HaMedrash. Ozol brate lebe midrasha. Omale, she says to him, Bor, come and see my ozol ozol. Oyaveichu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who loves you, is done for you. Omale, he says to her, Avodah, ein etzesh alecho. You can't benefit from this. Ve'elocho ben elokecho maniyah Yisrael. You're no different to any of the aniyim. Meaning, Klal Yisrael as a whole, the aniyim are allowed to benefit from it, from the wheat which is miraculously produced, but you yourself cannot take the whole thing for yourself. And Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi is a very strong Lashon here. On the word Elok Echod Me'ani Yisrael, says Rashi, Mishum Demaisa Nisimu, they'll be miraculously produced. La'osul la'obam le'halos ni Maisa Nisim. And it's forbidden for one to benefit from Maisa Nisim. So this is like an Issa in the Torah, it's also to benefit. And Rashi quotes a Gemara early on in Tanis Chof on the days where Yaakov Avinu said, "Katointi mikol hachasodim," and Rashi says, "Im oisin leineis menachin lemischiyotov." Learn from that Gemara: if one benefits from a miracle which was done for one, menachin lemischiyotov, it will reduce the person's chiyot. Whether it means it won't be affected in this world, or it could be like the Gemara of Chanina ben Doisa, that he received the whole story there. He received a leg from Shemayim, and he was losing his chelik in olam haba. So menachin is chiyot, so a person loses out. It's interesting that the Shlach HaKadosh, he brings another source to this. The Shlach in Parshas Lech Lecha, he has a little chapter, Shloi Leham is in Maase Nissim, he shouldn't benefit from Maase Nissim. And he's got an interesting question there. You can imagine that because Baruch has promised Avraham Avinu riches. He promised him he's going to become rich. It's a bit like this mashal, how a person is stranded on a desert island. And along comes an aeroplane to save him, and all different things come to save him. And each thing he says, "No, I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save me." So you mean he's a fool, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mom has sent messengers to save him. He has a similar type of question. Avraham Avinu says to the Melech Sodom, "I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make me rich. I don't want you to make me rich." I don't want people to say, "You made me rich. Hashem should make me rich." He asks, "Hayas Hashem Arubay Pashamayim, the Yimtalei Kesel Zod? Is HaKadosh Baruch going to make windows in heaven and make the riches, fall from heaven? This is the Shliach, this is the Hechatimsa, are you going to get rich?" So he says, the reason why Avraham Avinu didn't want to benefit from all the booty and everything which he got from Sodom was because it was miraculously produced. Now, it was actually their possessions. It wasn't each individual item wasn't a miracle. It was the way it got to Avraham Avinu, as you know the famous story. through Nochem Ishkamzu, we're told that the Avraham Avinu got his whole success was through miracle, through throwing sticks and stones, which became ballistic missiles. So his access to it was through miracle. It was miraculously accessed it miraculously, meaning that there was some miracle involved there, and that's why Avraham Avinu didn't want to benefit. And he says that's the makor why off to the Issa, the prohibition of lihanois mimaisa nisim, to benefit from miracles. Now I've got a little stira in Rashi, which the Achronim are. There's another story. It's much the same blap. It's in Tanis Chavdalad on the day. The Gemara tells us how Rav Yehuda noticed that people were cheapening bread, and therefore he made the Gezerah, decreed a fast, a famine on that generation. And it got the situation got so bad they had to step him out of the base of Medrash to see what was going wrong, you know, what was going wrong and how bad the famine was, that they were queuing up even for a few dates. So the Gemara tells us he takes off one shoe, and in order to, he wants to daven for the generation, he wants to, that the famine should stop, and immediately the rain came. He wanted to take off his next shoe, and Eliyahu Navi had to come running to him and tell him, if you do that, you're going to destroy the world. I mean, he would, unfortunately, saying he would die because he would catch a cold, and he was like, considered like as choshev as the whole world. The Gemara then continues and says, you know, it rained, so the famine stopped. The Gemara continues and tells us that the grandson of Shmuel was looking out. He was at the time there when this all happened, and he was looking out beyond, and he noticed that malachim, angels, were filling up boats with sand, which transformed to fine flour, and they were bringing this into the port to sell to the people. So it was a miracle. And Rav Yehuda forbade the people to benefit from this miracle, and the Gemara uses the words because it's also lahamlos mimaisa nisim. Now Rashi there, Rashi there explains that. Don't find the Rashi. Sorry. Rashi there says, as much as you can to distance yourself from a miracle, you should do. In other words, Rashi telling us, he doesn't use such a strong expression as also lehamis mimaisa nisim. Like previously, when there was the story of Elot Ishbirsa, he didn't say also lehamis, the forbidden to benefit. Here Rashi says, as if, you know, it's a milta of the chassidus to distance yourself from mimaisa nisim, something miraculously produced. Now the flower was totally miraculously produced, and they're told to distance themselves from it. Maisa Nisim, who distance themselves. And Rashi says, doesn't use such a strong lashon before as Ofa Lianoi. So the mitzvah, the Chidah, Teichemet quotes the Chidah, who says that although Rashi used previously the lashon Ofa, you can find cases where for Milsa the Chassid or something, which is only, you know, preferable that you should avoid. We can use an expression also. However, the Mitzvah Eson says a different term. Mitzvah Eson says there's a difference between something produced for the public, the rabbim, and something produced for the yochid. In Stechemet, he quotes the Yad David, who explains very clearly that when something is produced for the rabbim, you can't use the expression menachinos defiyosof, that the rabbim lose their schuyas by benefiting from it. So that would be the explanation why there's this difference between a yochid and a rabbim. I have two difficulties with this Mitzvah Eitzah. Firstly, there's another story later on where the famous story of Chanina ben Doisa, he sees his daughter is all upset because she says she accidentally mixed the oil with vinegar. And the famous story how Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa tells her that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told the oil to burn, he'll tell the vinegar, he can also make the vinegar burn. It says that they benefited the whole of Shabbos, and Motzei Shabbos they lit another light. It lasted until the whole of Shabbos, up until Shnot Lumeno Oyla Abdullah, until they took light from it to light another candle for Abdullah. So why didn't they use that light for Abdullah? Says Rashi, Hidrug Mimeno Ne Achali Hamis Boy. they lit another ner to benefit. The ner shall maisa nisim kibon. But the light which had been lit initially, from miraculously lit, kibon they extinguished. Kiheicha da'ovet Rabbi Yehuda b'chala da'vesmita. In the same way as Rabbi Yehuda, which is Gemara Chavtalavon, the last story I mentioned, didn't want them to benefit from the sadish which became into fine flour. Now my difficulty is that here we're dealing with Chanim ben Doisa, which is the din of a yochid, and Rashi seems to be quoting the wrong story, because the story Rashi quotes is a story where it was only it was a story which involved a rabbin, but here is a story of Chanim ben Doisa the yochid, and there Rashi is a stronger lashon, it's an issa, proper issa. So Rashi here when with the story of Chanim ben Doisa with the daughter with the oil which was vinegar, he's quoting the wrong Gemara. My second question I have is the contradiction of Mispa Eitzel himself. The Achronim want to understand why was it necessary for Chazal to teach us in two separate places how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he cares for our money. For Chos HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaMoloi Yishai Yisrael, he cares for our money. In one case is the case of the Metzoyra, the Bayis HaManuga, where we're told to take to empty the entire house before the Kohen comes, because when the Kohen comes and makes the house Tomei, everything inside is going to become Tomei. And there Chazal Darshan Chosak HaShbaruch HaMamon Yishai Yisrael, that the reason why he's doing that is that HaShbaruch cares for our money. He wants all our property out so that the things which can't go to Mikvah, like Kikicher, shouldn't be totally destroyed. And yet there's another case where HaShbaruch, where we're told the same message, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael water with the Be'er, when Miriam died in Parashat Chukah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides them with Klal Yisrael water, with the whole story with Moshe and Aaron, with hitting the rock, there we're told HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for the Be'er and for the cattle, and Rashi comments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaMoshe Yisrael, that why are we told that the cattle will receive the water as well? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares for Klal Yisrael's money. Now Mitzvah Eitzel in Rosh Hashanah, He wants to explain, you know, the Trichasol, why is it necessary for both cases, and he used a very interesting lashon. He says, Yashmin, on the case of Chukas, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu produced water from the Be'er, is teaching us that after Mokem Isura, even in the case when there's an Issa, Chos HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy. The Hosam in the case of Chukas is Ike Isura, Lihanu Yismi Maisa Nisim. There's a proper Issa, because the Issa Betanis. Now, what's the Issa? What's the Issa? Yes, the water is produced miraculously, but it's produced for a rabbin. And we're told Mitzvah Issa himself tells us that when it involves a rabbin, there's no Issa there. That's only Mitzvah the Chassidus. That's the contradiction of Mitzvah Issa himself with regard to that answer. There's a famous problem from Tanakh with this whole story, this whole rule that you can't benefit from Issa Issa. In two places in Tanakh, that's in Melochim Aleph, Perek Zayin, with the story of Eliyahu HaNavi and the Isha Tzarfit, just to get straight to the point, that he told her, Kavakemech leicholoso v'tzapachas Hashem el leichose, kidva Hashem asher did b'yad Eliyahu. He actually earlier on, Pasuk Yudalek, Yichol Yom Hashem el keiso, Kavakemech leisichle v'tzapachas Hashem el leisechso, ad yoyim teis Hashem geshem al pnei Adoma. That he promised her that the little bit of the little jug of oil, the little jar of flour which she had would never diminish. And that's what happens until the famine ended. And she was allowed to benefit from it, although it's all miraculously produced and it's for a yachid. Another story is in Melachim Beis, Perek Dalet, but this is involving the wife of Ovadia, who came to Elisha, her husband had died, and he provided for all the Nevi'im. And the story, as you know, the story goes that he told her to take all the kalim which she can possibly from the neighborhood, get from the neighborhood, and fill them with a little jar of oil that she had, and the jar of oil wouldn't diminish until she ran out of kalim. And that's exactly what happened. And with that, she was able to benefit and pay off those who she owed money to. So again, the same question: how could she benefit? How could she have hanor from oil which is miraculously produced? So the Yaivet has a very interesting mahalach. Now the Yaivet is coming on the story in Chof Ha'eh Omed Aleph about the neighbor of Chanina Mendoza, who is inquisitive, and she wanted to know why, how Chanina Mendoza is so poor, how could his wife be baking bread on Erev Shabbos? So she opens the door and she to see what, you know, what's going on. Why is the oven on? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle that the kneading trough became overflowing with dough. The oven looked as if it was the bread inside was going to burn, and there had never been any bread inside there. It was all mamish from one second to the next, completely miraculously produced. And the Yaivet's taina is that she was allowed to benefit from it. And he says a cheshbon why. He says because most probably, this is all what he says, most probably, she had put a little bit of flour, a tiny bit of flour in the oven that enabled the miracles to happen from it. So he comes up with the yisoid that when you start with something small, something miraculous, something tivistic, something from nature, and that expands into something, you know, miraculously expands, that's all right. And with that he explains, that's the story of Elisha with Eliyahu HaNavi as well, that they had started off with something simple, something small, and that expanded. Now the difficulty with this is the story of Elazar Ishbirsa. The Elazar Ishbirsa is difficult with that, because over there he had bought some regular wheat, thrown it in the barn, and that had expanded miraculously. And the land we're told, Ophel Yanoi. So that text is very difficult. I'll just sit with the Gemara, Chavdala Domadalef, with Elaz Ishbir, the Tanis Chavdala Domadalef. So I came across another text, the Ben Yoyada, a beautiful text. He starts with two stories. That one story I came across, the Machzik Brocha, says the same story. In the Machzik Brocha, the Chidot says that story happened in his lifetime. There were two shutzah, two partners, who had made an arrangement together that whenever, you know, whatever they've amassed together through shutzah and through the partnership, they'll share equally. But if anybody has his own gains, that will, he can keep for himself. So they had bought oil together and put it in one of the partner's cellars. And the wife came down, she noticed something strange with the oil. So she must have learnt enough. She thought that maybe that, you know, this oil is going to be the same oil as the oil of the time of Elisha. So she began pouring the oil into kelim which she had in the house, and really that's what happened. But the oil didn't diminish; it just continued pouring out and filled up all her vessels. So now that the shayla la locha, what do you do with this oil? Now the Ben Yoyada says that it was a machlekas in the poskim at the time. What to do with the oil? Is it split half-half, or is it just one of them? So one of the rabbonim claims it was her initiative, it's her gain, she can benefit. The other one said, no, that it should be split. Now, Kapolim, no one says that you can't benefit from it. Everybody seems to agree you can benefit from it. He has another story about Eliyahu HaNavi. I don't know where this comes from, if it's from Eliyahu or not, but he has a story with Eliyahu HaNavi, who a person was in need and gave him a bag of coins and said, as long as you never look in the coins, and never look in the purse, how many coins are there? You can always benefit from this person, it will always provide for you. His problem was he never told his wife. So when she wanted to know, you know, where's this source of income coming, she eventually found out, and because of that, she told him how many coins were in there, and that was it. The source of income stopped. So the rule is obviously always inform your wife. But the problem was, how could he benefit from it? Is all these coins miraculously produced, the oil is miraculously produced, how can they benefit from it? So he comes on with a Gewaldiger Chiddush and says that when the miracle is not noticeable on the jug, not noticeable on the purse, because to you, to the naked eye, the purse is always full, the jug is always full, they never saw that change, the transformation of miraculous oil to regular oil. So there, you're allowed to benefit. The Issa of Issa Lahamis doesn't apply. But in the case of with the little bit of wheat, and you throw it into a barn, suddenly the barn, you can't even open the door. Come on, that's the naked eye, that's an open miracle. So there is also Liyamai. That's the territory she gives. So through that would come out, they would argue whether Chanina ben Dosa was allowed to benefit from the chalas which were produced. Because according to the Yaivet Hitainis, it starts from something tivistic, you're allowed to benefit. However, according to this Mahalach of the Ben Yoyada, so even if she put a little bit of flour, but that's clearly miraculously produced chalas, which wasn't there beforehand, so then you wouldn't be allowed to have any anah. We've got a few minutes, got 10 minutes, to go have a little taste of the second shayla. So just to quickly recap, what the shayla we asked was, is what if something's miraculously produced for a person, are you allowed to benefit from it? Rashi says the reason why not is because Menachem is Chiyosov. We said from the Yadovit, from his Be'eson, that shouldn't apply, therefore that shouldn't apply to a rabbin. We mentioned from the Shloah as well, another source was Avraham Avinu, who didn't want to benefit from the Shalal of Sdoim, because he didn't want to benefit from Maisa Nisim. We had kashas from Kesef and Tanakh, and the seems to be the simple understanding is when it's very, very clear that the miracles happen, that's when one can't benefit. But when to the naked eye it's not noticeable, then that would be a case of where it'd be mutter to have hanor from Maisa Nisim, even the yachid. So the second shaila I would like to present is one allowed to actually use something which reduced miraculously for a mitzvah? Now it's interesting, in Tanakh and Perek Daled, the Radak continues the story from a Tisefta, the story of this lady. We know she filled up the jugs from all the neighborhoods she got the jugs from with her oil. This is the wife of Avadia. The Tisefta tells us that she then came back to Elisha and asked if she has to take Maisa from all the oil. And he said, no, you don't need to, Dumin Nisahu. That you don't need to take Maisa because it's from miraculously produced. So at face value, you would think that he's telling us a rule that something which is not tivistic, not produced in this world, it just may look the same as something produced in this world, the rules of the Torah do not apply. But you could be madche, but that's not such a strong proof, because at the end of the day, Machir of Maisa is something which grows in Eretz Yisrael. So something miraculously produced is no worse than something produced in Chutzlaret. It's not produced in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no klar raya from there that's got the dinim, or it hasn't got the dinim of the Torah. There's another raya, the Chacham Tzvi. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Samachay tells us that Rava produced a goylam. He produced a human being using the Sefer Yitzira, and he sent the person he produced to Rav Zeira, some of the gifts to Rav. He sent it to Rav Zeira. He's already had dealings with Rav Zeira before on Purim when he went and killed Rav Zeira. So now he brought Rav Zeira back to life. So now he's producing something else from Sefer Yitzira. And Rav Zeira notices that this golem is not talking to him. The explanation is because they haven't got an neshama like even if you can produce a human being from a Sefer, you can't put in the koich of dibor, the ruach mamalo, you can't give them. So therefore, he wasn't speaking. So Rav Zeira turns around and says, "Min chavreyat, I can see you're produced by my chaverim hodo la'afreich," and he basically killed the golem. He said, go back to the earth, and the golem died. So the Chacham Tzvi, because his own grandfather produced a golem, so he wants to know whether the golem can join a minion. And he says, from here we see that the golem can't join a minion. Because if there was a purpose from this golem, that, for example, that the golem could be used for joining a minion, then, and joining a minion is a very, very important thing, as we see that even, Gemara Gittin tells us, that even there's an Issa lo'ilam em tavoidu, that you've got to keep avodim forever, but when it comes to create a minion, you're allowed to meshachar nevet. So producing for a minion is a very, very chashuv thing, and yet he killed the golem. It shows you that, says the Chacham Tzvi, that there was no purpose to this golem at all. In other words, we could see here something miraculous produced hasn't got the dinim of mitzvahs, of something tivistic it could be used for a mitzvah. The same Gemara tells us about that Rav Chanina of Oishia every Erev Shabbos would produce an igla tilsa from a safety tzira. And it's very interesting, the Shlach Kodesh has his own unique explanation on what was going on between Yosef and the brothers. This is in Vayeshev. And he tells us that the brothers, you know, when Yosef said that they ate Avim and Achai, they didn't shech the animals, says the Shlach Kodesh that they produced an animal with Seifa Yitzira, and he comments and says, "Bevada zeh nivral pi Hashemus v'lo mitzada tolda," something produced through Shemus Hashem, not mitzada tolda. In tzorch shchita does not require shchita, v'nitza la'oich le'voidechai, and it can be eaten while it's alive. So you see very clearly here something produced miraculously has not got the halachas as we would of the Torah, and there's no halacha of Eivim Minachai. It's a very interesting Gemara in Daf Nun Tes and Sanhedrin. But the Gemara tells us how one of the Amoraim was in danger. He was Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, Habakkah Ba'orcha, Pogba Hanach Ariyosa. So the lions that were about to, you know, attack him, Habakkah Nami Lapi, and he, you know, he realized that, you know, they're going to attack him. So he said the pasuk Akfim Shogim Latoris, that the lions, the cubs are crying out for food, and then two pieces of meat fell from heaven. Two pieces of meat fell from heaven. So one of them the lions ate and left. The second one he was left with. So he took it to the Beis HaMedrash. Boyelo, Dover Tommy, who's there? Oh, Dover Tommy. So he said to him, Ain't Dover Tommy Yorid Min HaShemayim. And the Gemara goes further. And the Gemara says that Reb Zera asked the Shaila, what happens if a Dmus Chamor, if a donkey would fall from heaven? They said, after telling him whatever they said to him, they finished off with the same Reb Sak, Ain Dover Tommy Yorid Min HaShemayim. So you see from here that things which are miraculously produced do not seem to have the halachas of the Torah, and that there would be no chiyuv to slaughter it. I'd just like to, because it's a few minutes, just jump straight away to a couple of questions on this, five questions on this yisoid. Firstly, Avraham Avinu took Maisa from the Sholom. Now if you look at Rashi, Rashi goes out of his way to say Mikola Shaloi. When it says Avraham took Maisa from the Sholom and then gave it back to Sodom, it says Mikola Shaloi, means he had brought along his own Maisa, hoping maybe to catch a hold of shame, and he gave his own Maisa, meaning Rashi's going out of his way to say he did not take from the Sholom. And we have just said that the Sholom Avraham accessed through miracles. So the question would be, why would he have to take Maisa? And we're told now he didn't, he was a Mikola Shaloi. But the Ramban argues and says he did take from the Sholom, because he says you can't be frum at the expense of the Kohen, and you've got to take Maisa, although you don't want to keep for yourself, because you've got your reasons. You've got to give Maisa from what you've taken, what you've achieved, and to give it to the Kohen. So the question would be, why would he have the chiyuv to take Maisa for something which he's accessed miraculously? Yitzchok took Maisa as well, and in fact in the Rambam when he brings the chronological order of the mitzvahs, he only lists as Yitzchok the first to separate Maisa. There's a reason for that. And the question being that Yitzchok produced it, it was a difficult year, it was a difficult land, and Rashi points out al HaToyah that the whole thing was a miracle, that Yitzchok, the way he produced 100 times more, and yet you see he takes Maisa even though the way it was produced was miraculously. The Gemara Yoma tells us that Slav, the meat which fell from heaven, Torn Shechita, required Shechita. So why? If it's something miraculously produced, why does it need Shechita? The Nesiim, it says, the Nesiim Eviu Shem and Zayis, and Targum Yonison says, there's in that passage which says the Nesiim brought Shem and Zayis, it does not refer to the Nesiim as we think, the princes, it refers to the clouds, brought it from Gan Eden. So if it's something miraculously, you know, you access it miraculously, why have you got Chiv? How could they have used it for the base for the Mishkan? Also, finally, the question of Shem and Zayis of Hanukkah, the miracle of the oil which was miraculously produced on Hanukkah, what did they gain by it being miraculously produced if it can't be used for the menorah? So, the questions, three of the questions I asked could be simply answered that something, when it's miraculously brought to you, accessed it miraculously, but it's not miraculously produced, then it's got that, it's grown kivistik, it was grown naturally, you've got the normal dinim of the Torah, and that I saw, that paragraph of Steve Pepper Frank. But finally, to finish off, the Parashas Yosef says that if something started off naturally and it's only expanded, so we couldn't use that teret as far as benefiting us from, but as far as the halachas of whether it could be used for a mitzvah, then we can use that teret. And he brings a proof from Shmita, which is in this year, that we've got, with Shmita we've given a bracha, that on the sixth year it will grow enough that you'll have food for the seventh year and also the eighth year, because things will only start growing at the end of the eighth year. So you'll have food for 3 years. So here again you're seeing something which is normally only produced for 1 year has produced enough for 3 years. So there you see, because it started off naturally, the fact that it expands and it overproduces more, that doesn't stop you having the chiyuvim of Maisa and all the halachas which are related to it. Thank you very much for listening.